But what are we talking about? We're talking about cinder fella. Not Cinderella, but cinder fella. A guy that's caught up in a cinder fellic. That's a word. Check it out. Webster's Dictionary. Cinder fellic. A guy that has a Cinderella syndrome. He's very cinder fellic. So you see here now. He says you want to inherit the kingdom of God. He says, don't be deceived. Now, this is very pointed right here because, see, Calvinists and once saved, always saved are deceived. He said, don't be deceived. He's trying to tell you something. He's warning you. Don't be deceived. Now, they tell you once saved, always saved. If you're fornicating, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. They told you you would, but you're being deceived. That's why he stresses it and says, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. That God is doing the guy that's doing the tithing deal with you, that's an extortioner. He's extorting money from you. He won't inherit the kingdom of God because he's stealing your money based on a lie. Perverting the word of God to take your money, extortion. He says, so no extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So we're zeroing in on two of these things that he named, the effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. The effeminate is the word catamite in the Greek, a catamite, a catamite. A catamite is basically a soft man. A catamite was really a man kept by the Romans as a slave. He was a soft, effeminate man kept by a homosexual Roman, a catamite. He actually really assumed the position of a woman for the catamite. For the Roman. For the Roman, he would bathe him. He would provide sex for him. He would massage him, cook his meals. He was like a houseboy, but it was the woman for the Roman, a catamite, a soft, effeminate man. He'd be very docile, very, very feminine in his nature. You know, he might dress like a woman. He'd walk like a woman. When you see a catamite today, you can see the pseudo feminine character traits of the catamite. You ever seen a man that acts like a woman? That's a catamite spirit. It's a soft spirit. It's an effeminate spirit. Has no characteristics of a man whatsoever. It's a catamite. So he says the effeminate can inherit the kingdom of God because they externally display the fact that their hearts have been metamorphosized into a woman's heart. When you see Bruce Jenner, you're looking at a catamite. That's really a catamite. He has turned his outer countenance to reflect that of a woman. And he tries to conduct himself publicly as if he's a woman when everybody knows under that dress and under that wig and under all that false stuff, you're looking at Rusty Bruce Jenner. You're looking at Rusty Harry Bruce Jenner under all that outer stuff. See, that's what's really going on. So a catamite can't get in. A catamite is a soft, effeminate man. Then he says, nor abuses of themselves with mankind. See how he uses effeminate and comes right behind that with abuses of themselves with mankind. Now that word for abuser of themselves is arsenokoitos. Arsenokoitos in the Greek, which means the arseno sounds like arsenic. That's the root of it, like arsenic, poison, coitus. What he's talking about, coitus is actually sexual intercourse. So he's talking about abusive intercourse. Abusive intercourse is any kind of intercourse that would inflict pain, suffering, anguish. Sodomy produces anguish because you're trying to put different body parts into an orifice that won't accommodate those body parts. So he calls that person an abuser of themselves with a man can. So you see now, these functionalities in men do something to men, and after it changes them and how they project themselves as a man. Now, what we're dealing with on this planet right now, on the earth right now, is men who have been involved in all these abusive things, men who have been effeminized for so long that they have lost the ability to fight. The devil has made them unable to fight. So they show up as Cinderella at the ball. You know, Cinderella was a beautiful girl in the evening gown. Now Cinderella is around, and Bruce Jenner is a perfect characterization of what I'm talking about. These guys have all kinds of character traits that if you pick up on them, you can immediately see that that's not a man. Now, this is what I'm going to zero in on when we're talking about this effeminate character trait. Whenever you see an overtly sensitive man, he is so sensitive about everything, you have that catamite yoke on him. A lot of you women are married to these kinds of guys. They're so sensitive about everything, you can't even talk to them because of their sensitivities. Everything is a big deal. They microscopically examine everything. Things that you don't even think about, he's thinking about it. The way the curtains look and how you should have done your hair, and your nails should be another color, and your toenails should be another color, and that lipstick doesn't match your outfit. All this kind of stuff. A guy's not really thinking about all that stuff if he's just an everyday guy. But when you get this effeminized nature in a man, everything comes to a full stop as far as anybody able to conduct a war. You can't go to war with catamites. You can't go to war with effeminate men. You can't do it. The devil's plan has been to androgenize the culture. If you remember the video that a young man gave on Saturday, he talked about how in a dream he was having sex with this woman, he thought, but only to find she had two organs. She had male and female organs, sexual organs. This is the devil's plan. The devil is trying to androgenize everybody. He wants you to be both genders, whether you be man or woman. He wants you to have the outer genitalia of a man with the inner plumbing and the inner heart of a woman. That's androgyny. He wants you to have the physical equipment of a man, but the heart of a woman. He wants a woman to have the physical equipment of a woman, but the heart of a man. Androgyny is what the devil is after. The Baphomet is an androgynous creature. The Baphomet that Beyonce worships and Jay-Z worships and a lot of Hollywood stars and singing stars worship, that's an androgynous creature. Did you not know that when your third eye is open, that's saying that you're androgynous? That's the opening of the third eye. You've been revelated to receive the fact that you are not just what gender your sexual organs dictate. You've transcended that. It's called dualism. The dualities of life. I can walk in both spectrums. The floor of a Masonic lodge is black and white. That's reflective of dualism. That's androgyny reflected on the floor of the Masonic lodge. The devil's schematic is to make everybody one species from within so that you basically reproduce with yourself. See, if you're androgynous, you got both organs and they function full tilt, then you reproduce with yourself. You become a self-reproducing entity, not needing the opposite sex. Selfishness skews everything in your mind as far as relating to other people. When you're totally consumed with self, you become very sensitive because you're protecting self. See, men have become this effeminate presentation because they're enveloped in themselves. So they won't be put out for anything. When we make a call for warfare, when we tell the men to man up, we're going to war. When we tell them it's time to get your armor on, we're taking this city for God, you see them become cowardly and become real sensitive, because that would put them out. That would somehow infringe upon me. I'm wanting to be a catamite, a soft guy. I want you to look at my muscles and all this kind of stuff. See, I don't want to go to war. I don't want to get my fingernails dirty. That's what we're dealing with, folks. This is what's stopping everything. This is what has to train stopped on the track until God raises up some real men. Some real guys who are willing to just sacrifice up everything for Christ. The catamites and the effeminate guys spend all day on social media chirping like little Tweety birds. Just chirp, 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 chirp like a little Tweety bird all day long. Another revelation, another inspiration, another prophecy, another word from the Lord. You're a chirping little catamite, effeminate. When it's time to get suited up and booted up to go to war, you start chirping like a little bird. At some point, man, shut up. Get on your armor and let's do this. That's all that matters now. All this talking is ridiculous. It's not that much to talk about. You sound like a bunch of old gossiping women sitting around somewhere gossiping about everything. Catamites. Guys are interested in things nowadays that no guy would ever be interested in. It doesn't make sense. Catamites, effeminate, can't inherit the kingdom of God. What's going on? If you look at the environment, look at it from the White House to the outhouse, catamites. Look at Congress. Look at the Senate. Look at all this foolishness. I don't even get into this stuff because it's so stupid. It's stupid. Who wouldn't kneel down at a football game when the national anthem is played? Listen, let me tell you about all of that. Nobody cares about the football teams. Nobody cares about the national anthem. Nobody cares about the flag. Nobody cares what the president said about the flag, because all this junk is going to be burned up. It's going away. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If I'm at a football game, I stand up when they play the national anthem. Why? Because I just respect the environment. And I respect the country, etc., etc., but I don't feel nothing about it. I don't say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag because that's a verbal incantation over me. Because the first word in the Pledge of Allegiance of the flag is I. See, now you have me incanting myself. If I say I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, the rule of law, that's the catchphrase that gets you now. I pledge allegiance to the rule of law for which the flag stands. Now, we got to then examine the laws of the land. And one of the laws that are legalized in the land is abortion. And I'm not going to pledge allegiance to abortion. So therefore, I can't say this. Now, if you had me pledging allegiance to some righteous laws and things that are germane to the kingdom of God, I got no problem. But by my words, I'll be justified, and by my words, I will be condemned. So I'm not going to incant myself with an allegiance to a flag that represents the rule of law of the land. And one of the rules of law for the land is abortion, the wholesale murder of millions of little babies. Not me, not now, Not ever. It ain't happening. That's the way I see it. If you see it differently, that's on you. See, at some point, you've got to examine things with the mind of Christ. If it's neutral and not hurting anybody, for me to stand if they play the national anthem, as long as I have to open my mouth and pledge allegiance to something and say something to speak something over me, I'm fine. But when you start off a sentence with, I pledge allegiance, buddy, that's where I get off of the train. Hey, man, I got to make it in with the Lord. And whatever it takes, I will do it. I can be the odd man out, and I don't care. If your kid has a conviction at school not to say the pledge allegiance of the flag, to the flag, you let those people know at school that my kid does not say that, and here's why. And they can't make you do anything. You have freedom of speech, which is freedom to speak and freedom not to speak. That's how it goes. But all these silly demonstrations at a silly football game with a bunch of millionaires kneeling down on the football field, man, please, just play the silly game and get out of there. Nobody cares. When it comes to policemen and any kind of an unlawful shooting of a black man, hey, look, those cases have to be adjudicated one at a time. And I'm sure you've got instances where the police were dead wrong and they should have been prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and sent to prison for 30 years. And you've got time when some of these black guys would not comply and were trying to do something crazy and ended up getting shot. This got to be done fairly on a case-by-case basis. When you get people thinking in extremes and the police are shooting all these black guys down like dogs, that's not true. And when you say no policeman has ever done anything wrong and they never shoot a black man down, that's not true. So we've got to get to a place where we've got a real equitable, fair system in place that really tries cases for real and comes to a fair, legitimate verdict. But to get pulled into racial strife and animosity and arguments over this junk the devil is propagating, not me. Some of you black folks know good and well that some of these black folks are crazy and they will rob you and kill you. I know it. You know it. We all know it. And we also know there are some racist, crazy white guys on the police force that will kill you. I know it. We know it. Everyone knows it. Let's be for real. Stay in the middle of the road. Don't get drawn into the racial tension. In the military, I had black friends, white friends, Hispanic friends, Oriental friends, all kinds of friends. Some black guys I wouldn't trust no further than I could throw them. Some white guys, I would trust them with everything I had because those guys were good friends of mine and we went through thick and thin together. See, it's all about a case-by-case basis. Individuals vary. Individuals are not the same. Every white person is not a racist, and every black person is not free from being a racist. I know some racist black people, and if you're black, you do too. So just stop all this stuff. The devil's pulling folks into a world of craziness and insanity. While he's doing something else, playing a shell game, he's got you looking at all this hoopla he's spewing on out here in the world while he's doing something else over there, while he's bringing the Antichrist system to power. Can't you see the two-party system is a joke? Talking about getting rid of Obamacare, they didn't get rid of anything because they've been commanded and told what to do. They don't make up their minds to vote for anything. You do as you are told. Donald Trump, I mean, at some point, you get involved in silly things concerning Donald Trump. If you're trying to deal with Obamacare, why are you bringing up this football mess over here now? See, I mean, don't get your mouth into an arena that makes you look like a fool. Man, shut up. I mean, all you have to do is just shut up and do the job. Basically, Donald Trump has one major problem. He talks too much. He talks too much. Pride and ego has him flapping his trap too much. It's simple. Shut up and do the job. This is not rocket science, folks. So you out here, you know, creating all these situations, possibly on purpose, inspired by the devil, to keep the place in an uproar so everybody's distracted away from the devil. I'm not distracted. I'm focused on the mission. I got one mission in mind. Preach the gospel, to the whole world as a witness, so then the end can come. That's all I'm around for. Everything else to me is a waste of time. If what you're telling me is not about preaching the gospel to the whole world so the end can come, then I got nothing to talk about. I got nothing to talk about. I'm not interested in anything else. I don't care about anything else. Nothing else interests me in the slightest. Preach the gospel to the whole world, and then the end of this whole stupid, crazy world can come. Simple. But Cinder Fella, Tenderoni, Wimpy, is out there parading around into himself, arguing about all this secondary and tertiary junk that doesn't matter. One thing is needed. Preach the gospel to the whole world, and then the end can come. Jesus gave us a mission. Go ye into all the world and proclaim this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Nothing matters. Everything else is secondary to the mission. Man, this is a strange, weird time, folks. Strange, weird time. Can't you see all this smoke is billowing, trying to somehow get you unfocused from what is necessary? I say, God, you don't have 1,000 guys, 1,000 measly guys called out from this foolishness to make a move. That's all we're looking for come December. 1,000 guys will say, you know what? I'm through with this. Let's just wrap this up. I'm through discussing, I'm through wondering about it, I'm through debating it, I'm through talking about it, I'm through arguing about it. Let's just wrap it up. 1,000 guys sick of it. 1,000 guys committed to it. 1,000 guys who say, for Christ I live and for Christ I will lay down and die. Just sick of it. You ought to be sick of this place. The trickery, the deceit, the murders, the killing, the raping, the pillaging, all this junk going on all day long. See, here's our mission as I wrap it up for tonight. Our mission is to wash this cinderphalic anointing off of people, this cinderphalic residue that is in Webster's dictionary. It's a new word that you guys haven't heard yet. Cinderphalic, a guy who has the outer countenance and the inner makeup of Cinderella. He's cinderphalic. He's a cinderfella. So any cinderphalic trappings on him are reflected in his personality. You people need to keep up with the changes in the dictionary, what you need to do. So anyway, our job is to take on this cinderphalic anointing, this cinderphalic flow on people's lives and destroy it. Get the guy back to himself and to being a real man. Get a haircut. Take the earrings out of your ears. Take off the guy liner. Take off the dress. You know, a lot of rappers are now wearing dresses and skirts. Take off the skirt. Take off the dresses. Take off the booty shorts. Burn your thong. And just put on a pair of briefs. Put on a pair of drawers like a man and come on out here, man, and let's get into the battle. All the sensitivity, all the talking about what your wife did to you. Man, it's pitiful to listen to how many guys talk about what their wives have done to them and what their wives are doing and trying to, I mean, man, stop. Why don't you just go and do what you're supposed to do? Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's about the best you do. The wife, love your wife. Well, you don't know what my wife is doing. See, you're a girl still. You're a girl complaining about your wife. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Sacrifice yourself up for your wife. Send her some roses at the job. Take her out to dinner Friday night. Stop being a nagging hag of a husband, acting like Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies, or looking like Wendy Williams when you come home wanting to gossip all day. You're Wendy Williams, man. Stop. Ask God to purge and expunge the girl out of your heart. That's all it is. This feminine thing in you, excuse me, that came from your mother, that came from you being around your auntie and your grandmama and your mama. You didn't have a daddy. And you got used to the gossip of all those women. Your mama and your auntie and your grandmama and their friends gossiped all day. And you've been taught and programmed to be a gossiping woman. That's why guys always trying to talk on the internet. They're gossiping women. It's pitiful. Anytime you see somebody focusing in on what somebody did to them or said to them, or what somebody thinks of them and how people look at me, and you're pitiful, whether you be a man or a woman. Nobody cares about you. Forget you. Nobody's thinking about you. Get in the battle. Everybody's always talking about how, you know, I did such and such a thing. And everybody's always trying to look at me at work. And they don't like how I come in there. And I'm always dressed so astutely. And I'm always on time. And people are jealous of me. And nobody cares about you. Nobody's thinking about you. You're crazy. Get out of you and get into the battle. See, when you're at war, when you're really engaged in a battle, you don't even think about this junk because you got the war to fight. So our job now is to get all the cinderphalic anointings and trappings off of a guy. Fine tune the guy for warfare from the inner man and put him on the front line as a soldier. A soldier in a warfare. The women will always converge on militant guys. If you get some militant guys, some warlike guys, the women will automatically converge on them. You don't have to even think about the women. Women are looking for leadership. Women are looking for some guys that will finally stand up, man up, and do the job. So I don't even have to think about what the women will do. The women will converge on men who are actually masculine and wanting to go out there and represent Christ in the marketplace. They'll stand with them. You know, I mean, the women want to get married, but the problem is the guys are so feminine. What's wrong with guys? They're feminine. Why don't they get married? They're feminine. They're so into themselves, they can't share their lives with anybody else because they like to do what they want to do. And they understand that getting married means they have to sacrifice up me and my time for the sake of another person. I like to do what I do. I like to fish on Saturdays. I like to go to the movies on Saturday. I like to play video games all day. I like to do this, that, and the other. I like. So therefore, they don't get married because they have to stop doing what they want to do in order to share their lives with somebody else. It's pitiful. Self makes you effeminate. Self makes you a catamite. Self does it to you. Cinderella. Evening gown, high heel pumps, long flowing curly wig down his back. Sensitive. So sensitive about everything. And I'm not making fun of him. I'm not trying to put guys down. This is the curse. This is the scourge on the land. Sensitive guys. A lot of you women have been trying to figure out what's wrong with this guy. A lot of you trying to figure out what's wrong with your husband. That's what's wrong with him. I'm telling you what's wrong with him. He talks a bunch of stuff. He talks a good game. But he never can connect the dots. He never can get anything off the ground. He never can see anything work. He's got a lot of smoke, but no fire. He's always getting ready to do something. I'm going to fill in the blank, and he never does. He never follows through. He never accomplishes anything. He's going from one thing to the next and everything failing because he won't just settle down and come to God and say, God, fix me. Make me over. Anchor me in truth. Anchor me in Christ. Give me back my masculinity. Give me back my testosterone. Give me back my gonads. I want to be a man again. Guys have been castrated. Guys have been torn apart by lust. They've been out there trying to run around with all these women trying to prove they're not what they are. See, a guy that's out there trying to be a player and run all the women is running from what he is. He's trying to prove he's a man through slaying a bunch of women, when in fact he hates women because he's a catamite and he's effeminate. He's running from his effeminacy trying to slay a bunch of women. You know, it happened to Usher. He had all those girls he was laying around with until he finally got with a man, because that's what he really was. He was trying to stack up women to the ceiling and finally end up laying around with a man because that was what was really down in him. An effeminate nature. Folks, it's time for men to stand up, take off that gown from the ball that Cinderella went to, take off your high heel pumps and your fishnet stockings, take off your thong, take off your bustier and all this other stuff, and just shake all that stuff off of you, man. Get a haircut, man. If you got all those dreadlocks and all these plaits in your head and you got your hair braided up real cute, and get out, man, cut all that stuff out your head, man. What is wrong with you? What you got all that junk in your head for? Go find yourself a good barber and tell him, man, get this stuff off of me. Give me a fade. Give me a crew cut. Give me a whatever. A scaldy baldy. Give me something to work with, man. Get a haircut, man. Start the process by getting a haircut. The resistance to getting a haircut is indicative of the fact that you've taken on feminine character, because it's a shame, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for a man to have long hair. Take the earrings out of your ears. Take the toe rings off. I mean, come to yourself. Recognize what you've become. Look at yourself in the mirror, man. What's happened to you? You know, it's 90 degrees out there. And you got all that hair on your head. What's wrong with you? Stop. It's time to stop being cinder fella and just become a fella. It's time to be faithful to one wife. Take care of your kids, man. Go home at night. Stop hanging in the street with all these guys. Go home. Curl up with your wife and watch an old movie. Play some cards with your wife, some Uno, some checkers, chess. Just sit down by the fire when it gets cold this winter with your wife and roast some chestnuts over an open fire and have Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Man, look, for real, at some point, man, you ought to stop wanting to be a boy. And in fact, a girlish boy. Girly boy. I mean, grow up. This is ridiculous. You look up and say, God, let's go to war. Let's do it. Let's mop this up. And you understand that these guys have got their guts cut out of them. And the devil has done it. The devil has done a hack job on guys. Got them just wasted, cut up, torn up inside. I'm not joking about this. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm not putting any guys down. I respect all men. But we got to deal with this, man. We got to get down to the root of this thing. This thing is crazy. The reason why you can see a World Changers, a T.D. Jakes, a Joel Osteen, and all these crazy ministries blow up, it's because the guys following that stuff are just like women inside. That's why the Bible, have you noticed in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the Bible says that these false preachers captivate silly women? He never addresses the men. Read it for yourself. You can go read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice how it talks about all these false folk and all this perversion and all these folk like Jannies and Jambres deceiving folk. He says they go into houses and lead astray silly women. He doesn't mention any men. You know why that is? Because a man can have the heart of a silly woman. They build the thing off of silly women, whether they be physical women or men with the hearts of silly women. So what these guys are that you see standing up in a pulpit and jumping around and shouting and crying, going to a meeting with T.D. Jakes talking about your he-motions, my he-motions, and you're sitting there crying about how you were raised and being out of touch with your emotions and getting in touch with the feminine side of you. That's the junk he's selling. You got to get in touch with the feminine side of you and let your emotions flow. Man, that joker is making money off of you and taking you for a ride based on your incapacitated feminine state. You're a catamite. And I'm telling you, man up. Stop letting these homosexual preachers sodomize you with all that false doctrine that has been preordained and formatted for a silly woman. And you got a silly woman down in your soul, even though you're a man. You're a man's body with a silly woman inside. And they're exploiting you. No man, listen to me, I'm going to say this and I'll wrap it up. No man that I know of that's really a two-fisted thoroughbred man would sit up under Joel Osteen. It just wouldn't happen. There's no discussion about it. You just would sit there and say, I can't follow this wimp. See, a man wants to follow Patton, General Patton, General MacArthur, Roosevelt, Truman. They want to follow a guy that's going to fight something, going to go to war, that wants to go to war. Real leadership in any arena is dictated by a guy taking the reins. So if people followed, you take the Super Bowl last year. The guys didn't stand up with Matt Ryan because Matt Ryan didn't have the gonads and the grit to take control of that team. He didn't take control of the team. But Tom Brady got in that locker room and told those guys, we're not losing this. Down by 25 points. And the guys responded because he took control of the team. What you had in the locker rooms at halftime was a quarterback that was a novice in Matt Ryan, who did not instill leadership and wherewithal into his team by standing in everybody's face and telling them, we're not losing this. We're up by 25 points. Don't get complacent. Don't lay back. Don't take anything for granted. We're going to put a nail, we're going to drive a stake through their hearts the second half, and went out there viciously to destroy everything in sight. Instead, you had a docile, passive guy listening to instructions, while Tom Brady instilled the steel in his team and the grit and the determination to win. I'm closing this up, y'all, but I want to say this to you guys. You used the Super Bowl last year as a type of what I'm saying. All Matt Ryan had to do, listen to this, was take those headphones out of that helmet, those earphones, that gave him communication ability with the offensive coordinator, take rip that junk out of his helmet and throw it to the ground. Get in Dan Quinn's face, the head coach, and tell him, Quinn, I'm taking the team over. After the night, you can trade me, cut me, do anything you want me to do. I'm not taking any more direction from the offensive coordinator. I'm taking the team over. Call your offensive unit over to you and tell those guys we're running the ball down their throats. We're driving down the field. We are going to score. If I get into a situation where I get close to the end zone and it's third down and three, I'm running. If I don't make it, kick a field goal. Keep driving. Keep driving them. Don't listen to anything else your offensive coordinator says. Forget Dan Quinn. I am a 10-year veteran. I'm taking control of this team. Like Peyton Manning would have done. Just name the great ones. All the great ones would take control. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. They take control of the team. But when you got a passive, docile, catamite, wimpy, effeminate guy, unless you're that way, you can't follow him. So the environment is telling me, if we'd give explicit, direct instructions about what we're going to do, a man-up meeting in Atlanta, for this reason, we're calling out the man to establish a foundation to lead an attack to destroy the devil. And all these guys draw back like they do, that's telling me we got a nation full of catamites, a nation full of effeminate men, men who are men on the outside but women on the inside. And you need to go to God and ask God to deliver you from that effeminate spirit. You need to ask God to get that effeminate spirit out of you and stand up and be a man. We're not looking to go to war. We're not looking for the Normandy invasion to be conducted by Cinderella in slippers and a gown. Now what used to be Cinderella has metamorphosized, and a man is standing there with all the regalia on the inside of Cinderella. And since Cinderella is embedded in your soul, now you become a perversion of what you should be. And you stand here as Cinderfella. A mixture of Cinderella and a fella. Cinderfella. Man, listen. Even the women have been formatted to operate within the confines of dealing with these guys. Now even women only know how to deal with the feminine guys. That's why you get a Wendy Williams and a Beyonce, and you got Rihanna beat down in like a dog in the street by Chris Brown. All they know is dealing with an effeminate man, Kim Kardashian, Kanye West. All they know is dealing with an effeminate, emotional, sensitive man, formatted for it. They can't follow proper leadership. They draw back from something like this because these women don't know anything about dealing with a man. All they know is these tender, sensitive, wimpy, effeminate guys. And that's the only thing they follow. And it's totally perverted, totally ungodly, and totally unclean. Folks, as a woman, stop supporting that thing. Stop undergirding it. And as a man, stop being it. Change. Get out of this filth, man. Ask God to give you a heart that matches your exterior. You're a man on the outside, ask God to put a man's heart in you. You don't need that dualistic nature. You don't need a dichotomy in you whereby you're a man on the outside and a woman on the outside, feeling sensitive and hurt, rejected, and just so castigated and been done so badly. And my wife was yelling at me the other day, and it brought me to tears. It brought me to tears. Look, man, at some point, ask God to change you. Ask God to fix you. Ask God to resurrect the right nature in you. Ask God to reconstruct Christ in you. Christ in you is still the hope of glory. A cursed thing like this cinder fella has to be done away with. Let Christ live. Let that thing die. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words and make them alive to the hearer. Bring this thing alive in 2017, God. Cast down the old, build up the new. Find yourself a few good men, just like the Marines looking for a few good men. A man that says, you know what, let me just sell out, commit to this thing and get it done. Forget everything else. I'll just get this done. In Jesus' name. Thousands of them follow these wimpy, limp-wristed guys talking about prosperity and trying to get some money and all that old junk that's not conducive to the war effort. And they just pack in there. A guy. This is a guy. God. Raise up some men, not boys. Raise up some soldiers, not those that are thumbsuckers. Raise up an end time fighting force. For your glory and for your honor, do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we'll wrap it up for tonight, folks. Right now the prayer line is going on. That number is 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. Remember, Dunamis Tabernacle, support it. 7,000 people on the Facebook group. If everybody gave $100 tonight, we'd be in and it'd be over with. That's how bad it is. 7,000 people. All they got to do is the minimum. We get this done. We're out of here. But nobody wants to see the world end. Nobody wants to see Jesus come back. Nobody wants to see the agony cease. It makes no sense. None. In a world bathed in hell and chaos, why are you trying to sustain this? I just don't know. Makes no sense. But such is life. Remember, church service Sunday morning, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time on live stream. We'll be right here on the same channel as we talk about the message, Defenders of the Faith. Defenders of the Faith come Sunday morning. We're looking for defenders of the faith. Y'all listen, this is serious. These some serious times. All this junk billowing out here, I care nothing about this junk. I don't even want to hear the stupid news. I'm here to do a job, one job. Crown Jesus Lord and get him back down here to rule and reign forevermore. Nobody cares about this stinking place and all their stinking problems, all their racial calamity and all their filth. Let's get the Lord back. He'll put an end to all of this. That's the way to end all this mess and get it over with. Get involved. Do something to get the Lord back here. And the way to do it is proclaim the gospel to the whole world so the end can come. Join the prayer line now, everybody. Stay away from foolishness. Stay away from silly friends. Stay away from crazy folk. Stay away from religion altogether. And for God's sake, whatever you do, stay out of the devil's matrix. See you back here Sunday morning. Have a good week. Be blessed. Keep your family safe from hurt, harm, and danger by praying for them always in spirit. We'll see you back here Sunday. God bless.